From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 14th day of October, 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and I'll take you through the agricultural news for the day. And we'll hear how Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, assesses last week's USDA crop production in WASDE reports, along with the weather over the weekend and the Trump administration's potential interim trade deal with China. And we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today finished unchanged at $3.97¾. The March contract at $4.07½, down a quarter a bushel. May corn $4.12½, a quarter lower. July down a half at $4.16. And December of next year, a half cent lower at $4.09½. Soybean futures in the November contract up 4½, finished at $9.40½. January at $9.55, 4½ higher. And March $9.65, up 4 cents. May futures at $9.72 at a quarter, 3¾ higher. And next year's November at $9.73½, up 2¾. Bean oil futures has settlement price at $29.90, up 7 cents. The bean meal for the day at $3.06, down 90 cents. Wheat futures soft red. July contract $5.24½, up 2¼. The hard red July at $4.56 at a quarter, up 5½ cents. Live cattle futures October up $1.17½. At $110.62½, and October feeders at $145.55, down or rather up $1.45. Lean hogs October contract 15 cents higher at $63.07½, and energies finished the crude oil for the day at $1.34 lower, at least that's where they're trading, $53.36. The current price a barrel. Ethanol futures up down about a penny and 2 tenths at $1.49½, and heating oil is down 4 7/10 at $1.91. Gasoline $1.60 8 cents of a cent, 2 9/10 lower. Natural gas at $2.27 9/10, up 6½ cents on the day. The Dow around a penny, around a point lower. The U.S. dollar up 0.155, and the gold futures at $1,490, up $7.30. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago and to discuss the weekend weather and what happened on Friday and Thursday of last week and what the trade is expected to do this week, all kinds of things. Although not a lot of harvest, I think things are going again today and maybe a little bit on Sunday, too. What'd you make of everything over the last 4 days?
Well, I went home with Friday with some great enthusiasm on U.S.-Chinese talks and the weather concerns, and came in here Sunday night and was fairly good. But as the night wore on, the market kind of cooled their jets for, say, I guess the trade's kind of lacking clarity on actually what U.S. and Chinese trade negotiations are going towards. It was kind of like China got back home and all of a sudden they're saying, well, we really didn't agree on a whole lot just yet. We still got some work to do. And this $40 to $60 billion number, it might be long term, but it's still a process to go yet. As we understand it right now, Lighthouse are supposed to meet again next week, and we're kind of looking towards the mid-December now as a time window. But when President Trump said it'd take 4 to 5, 6 weeks to write some type of an agreement, that means we still got some agreement to go on it. But I think the intent's there, and hopefully we'll continue to make some headway here and things become much clearer on where we are. Not only just ag products such as grains and livestock and fiber, it also, I think, machinery, tractors, and so forth also include this deal. Some of the guys feel that some type of really big number won't be affected until 2020, which is another 2 years from now, Todd.
And then talk to me a little bit about what you've heard as it relates to the freeze and the snow over the weekend. That came mostly on Friday night into Saturday morning.
A lot of moving parts. For the most part, for those followed the forecast, it did materialize. It probably moved a little further south and eastward than what the trade was looking for. We're hearing estimates of about maybe lost 160 million bushels of corn, upwards toward 70 million bushels of beans. Now, there's quite a few moving parts in that, whether or not the quality will be there or not. Then also, too, visiting with a few producers there in the Dakotas is whether or not some of these acres will even be able to be harvested for the most part. So we definitely lost some bushels. It's going to take some time for the trade to sort that out. Harvest progress, the USDA was closed today, so we'll have the weekly updates tomorrow afternoon. Some analysts feel that we got harvest progress as high as 25-30%. I don't believe so. I believe we'll be lucky to have the 20% benchmark across on the numbers there. Bean activity is picking up here this week in the central part. Yields continue to be variable, but for the most part, producers say better than expected. 50 bushel beans, but a year ago they were making 70, 80. Same thing on corn, some low 200s, but a year ago it was 30, 40 bushel better, Todd.
What are your expectations for the rest of this week?
Well, we'll continue to get receive some updates on the trade negotiations. We'll continue to follow the weather. Weather will be a key in through here, because if we see some more moisture in the northwest, that's going to continue to slow down harvest activity. The NOPA crush reports be out this week. The trade's looking for 162 million bushel crush, and that is just slightly above a year ago, so we are continuing to see some fairly good crush number. Technically, we'll be watching the $4 level in December corn futures, 402, 403. Couple points there. One, that is kind of the upside objective on the inverted head and shoulders bottom on the December corn chart. Then secondly, the 200-day moving average comes in at this 402, 403 level. And if we would happen to clear that, that would hopefully give the green light to the commodity funds to cover some of their short positions. They're still short about 98,000 contracts of corn. And they're already above the 40 and 50 day, but if we cross that 200 day moving average, I think we'll see some technical short covering in place. We'll watch Brazilian planting progress. They're expected to be about 9 to 9.5% complete as a nation. A year ago, they were 20% planted. Their average is 12%. And the South American forecast is a little bit better, a little bit more moisture in the forecast for them as we move through the week here, Todd.
Spot soybean bids for delivery right at that $9 level. Any reason the producer should not take advantage of this?
I think you got to kind of reward the market a little bit as we go in through here. It's not the best price, but when you look at the soybean futures chart, we've got a kind of a double top in place. We're up against the old June highs. If this trade talk falls apart, and if the southern hemisphere gets in a timely fashion, that could keep a lid on it. Kind of optimistic beans a little longer term, the fact that the supply-demand balance sheet is going to get tighter. But I think we got to be aggressive in here and generate some cash flow needs, ring the cash register, stop some storage, but do a cheap replacement. They've really taken the juice out of these options, and that's an economical way to get some money, pay some bills, but still have some ownership on paper there, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Look us up. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, or at least most of it in its entirety, not long after it airs on our radio stations, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. If you'd prefer to listen to us as a podcast, you can do that on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the NPR One app, through iTunes, and even the Google Play Store. Check us out whenever you get the chance. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with last week's announcement by the Trump administration that a trade deal or an interim compromise of some sort had been come to. We'll begin with President Donald Trump's discussion of this at his Louisiana campaign rally on Friday evening and the amount of agricultural goods that he expects to be purchased by the communist nation.
Phase one, it's a big phase. In fact, the biggest problem It'll be $40 to $50 billion in farm purchases. I don't think our farmers can produce that much. I said, that's okay. You know, my people said, sir, could we make it 20? I said, no, make it 50. Our farmers will buy more land and they'll buy bigger tractors. Right? Now, they actually said, I want my farmers, I love my farmers, I want them to come back to me. Sir, we can't produce this too much. It's too much, sir. It's too much. We can't produce that much wheat and corn and all the stuff. Because I want to tell you, I got China to order a lot.
Or so it seems, but details have yet to be hammered out, and the document or agreement has not been signed, and that probably won't take place for at least 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks. However, this morning, the Secretary-Treasurer of the United States on CNBC's Squawk Box said that substantial movement had been made.
Well, I wouldn't pay too much attention to all the daily headlines that speculate things one way or another. What I will tell you is we made substantial progress last week in the negotiations. We have a fundamental agreement. It is subject to documentation, and there's a lot of work to be done on that front. But it includes intellectual property rights. It includes financial services. It includes currency and foreign exchange. And it also includes very significant structural issues in agriculture, on top of significant purchases. So I would describe phase one as quite substantial, and as the president has said, as soon as we get phase one complete, we'll move to phase two.
For its phase one part, the United States has agreed not to impose extra tariffs beginning tomorrow. The Chinese apparently agreed to make agricultural purchases, according to Mnuchin.
No, China has agreed on agriculture that they're going to take off tariffs on agriculture and they're going to start purchasing agriculture. And they had been in the market, but they'll be stepping that up. But we'll be working very closely with them over the next few weeks to try to get this agreement to a signing in Chile.
That would be at the Asian-Pacific Cooperation Summit, and if a trade deal does not go through at that point, the United States has already told China that it will impose additional tariffs on December the 15th. Let's stay with trade for the moment, where one of the biggest hurdles to passing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement could soon go away. Mexico recently promised House Democratic leadership that it would improve its enforcement of new labor standards to protect the rights of workers in that country. The LA Times says the president of Mexico told Democrats during meetings in Mexico that his government would add more funding to make sure Mexico complies with the agreement's provisions. That could mean the road to the revised North American Free Trade Agreement could become much easier with Mexico's concessions to labor concerns. The Democratic trip to Mexico comes almost a full year after President Trump signed the new trade pact with the leaders of Mexico and Canada. Congress has not approved the deal yet, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it will not come up for a vote in the chamber until all of their concerns are resolved. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer has worked with a group of House Democrats who want Mexico to improve its policy on labor, pharmaceutical, and environmental issues. However, the changes don't require reopening the agreement with Mexico and Canada, something that would derail the trade pact entirely. And finally today, one more trade item. August beef exports this year were below the record large numbers in August of last year. That's according to data from the United States Department of Agriculture that was compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. August beef exports totaled just 114,000 metric tons, a 4% drop from the large volume of a year ago. The export value dropped 8%, coming in at a little more than $690 million. January through August beef exports were also just below last year's record pace, declining 2% in volume to 881,500 metric tons and 1% in volume at $5.44 billion. Exports accounted for 14% of total U.S. beef production in the month of August. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois, to talk about the corn and soybean markets, in particular about the USDA reports. The crop production and WASDE estimates were out. Tell me about your assessment.
Well, we saw a weaker soybean supply on slightly lower harvested acres and a bushel lower yield. It looks like with the weather we saw in the northern plains, you could see, you know, production scaling back a little more this year. It's hard to say right now, but supply is sort of heading in the right direction for soybeans and possibly for corn, but soybeans in particular. The consumption levels got a really strong crush, and, you know, 1.775 billion bushels of exports, with rumors of a possible mini trade deal in place, which I mean, by that, here's me talking, I'm going to have to see something before I believe that's the case. It sounds promising. A lot of the reports are saying, you know, 30 million metric tons, which would be 1.1 billion, basically what they normally buy from us. I don't know if we got that kind of head leeway in supply to actually ship that many soybeans this marketing year. So that might be a little bit optimistic. But overall, I feel like right now, demand in soybeans is a little bit stable, depending on what happens with the trade deal. And supply is sort of creeping downward. So we'll see, probably not till January, what the final production numbers are. But it's supportive, and we've seen that in soybean prices since then. Corn, they lowered harvested acres slightly, but raised the yield 0.2 bushels an acre. I think a lot of people are scratching their heads about that estimate, but it was as of October 1st. And it's important to remember they only had like 29% of in their objective yield that was mature. So this thing's got a long way to go. And just like soybeans, the weather we saw in the northern plains at the end of last week may have done some serious damage to the corn crop out there. It's just pure conjecture right now. I have no idea how much it may or may not be, but you have to assume some damage was done. So we'll see how it turns out. On the demand side, they lowered exports 150 million bushels, which I thought was slightly overdone. I get why they did it. You know, we're off to a slow start in export sales that started in May, as South American exports have really taken U.S. market share overseas and to some of our main buyers like Mexico and South Korea and Japan. And right now, the USDA is projecting corn production in South America just slightly below last year. Those were huge crops. I'm not so sure with the way their planting season's gotten off to start if that Safrina crop in Brazil is going to yield the same amount. And so I'm a little hesitant to drop exports that much. We could see real strength in the second half in the marketing year depending on what the South American crop does. So that was a real negative. They lowered ethanol consumption 50 million bushels, which makes sense because we haven't been doing a million barrels a day in crush all through September. It's a little weak right now. I don't think it'll go much lower. And, you know, all the machinations around RFS and what they're going to do, that's still a big uncertainty out there. So despite demand being down somewhat sharply, supply came down, so ending stocks went down from the September report. And we didn't see a real rally on Thursday because of expectations of what the yield would be, but Friday it turned around significantly on the supply and trade issues. So in my opinion, you know, we're sort of sitting here right now. If either the supply or the trade deal materializes, there's a place for strengthening both in the corn and soybean markets. If both of them materialize, some real strength could show up. If neither materialize, we are where we are. And, you know, we'll see it sort of backtrack a little bit. But as I'm looking at it, I think you're going to see supply in both crops sort of fade down a little bit before it's all said and done. And it could be dramatic. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. And I think demand, particularly in soybeans, is relatively stable, barring a trade deal. And in corn, it really is going to come down to that South American crop for exports. But other than that, I think it looks relatively stable. Any kind of trade deal is a complete game changer for both corn and soybeans, because you could see maybe not a lot of corn get exported, some bought by China, but distillers grains, ethanol. If sorghum starts getting shipped to China again, that brings it out of the ethanol mix, so you could see some real strength in that space and demand. So right now, you know, a trade deal would be really positive, of course, and that's what we're seeing in the markets.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He is of the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, last week you were so busy I didn't get to talk to anybody. I was really glad you're there this afternoon. I think probably you're pretty busy today, though, too.
Yes. It's going to be a big bean week. If we can miss that rain tomorrow, the next chance of rain isn't until Sunday, so we can get a lot of beans cut this week. We got a lot of beans cut last week, but 2 weeks in a row could just about finish up some people here in central Illinois.
How are the beans, and is there a dividing line north to south?
Yes, Interstate 74. If you're south of that line, the yields are down, 10-15%. But if you're north of that line, 25%, sometimes even more than that. So they just got more rain south of 74, and that's being reflected in the yields.
Yeah, more rain, and I think they got in earlier, too, mostly south
yeah,
of 74.
Yeah, that was a big part of it, too. You're right.
So those north of Interstate 74 in later, and then they just dried out. That was a tough year for them in a large part of East Central Illinois. For corn, have you gotten much in at all?
Not really. We're starting to see a few people bring in some corn, but it's mainly been soybeans. The June planted corn is still plenty wet in the upper 20%, 25-30% moisture. Some of the April and May planted corn is coming in, and it's drying down. It's below 20%, but I think farmers are really concentrating on beans last week and this week. They remember what happened last November. The weather was not conducive to getting beans out of the field in November, so I think they're trying to get the beans out while they can and waiting for the corn to dry down a little bit more.
What do we know about Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska, and the cold weather over the weekend, even northern Illinois and western Illinois for that matter?
Yeah, as Kurt said, I think that cold weather went a little bit further south and east than what the maps were predicting last Friday. So it's hard to say how much damage has been done. We'll probably have to wait and see. But, we had frost, on the grass in the low-lying areas 2 days this morning and then again Saturday morning. So that can't be good. I think our crops were far enough along here in central Illinois. But as you go farther north, obviously, they weren't as far along. So we'll have to see whether that just has an impact on dry down or whether it does have an impact on yields as well.
I see that we have $9 bids for soybeans. Corn hadn't made $4 yet, or at least not many places, I don't think.
We're over $4. We're at $4.03 tonight. We've got a positive basis on both on the corn. So, $4.03 tonight for corn.
Yeah, and your soybean bid is what?
Soybean bid is $9.18, quite a bit over $9.
You got guys taking advantage of both of those?
Not really. We bought a fair amount of $4 corn, but the beans, farmers are pretty bullish beans. They're hoping this trade deal gets done sooner rather than later. The yields are more disappointing on the beans than they are on corn. And there's a lot more carry in the bean market. There's 40 cents carry from November futures to July futures in the soybean market, where there's only 18 cent carry in the corn market. So producers are storing a lot more beans.
And of course, is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Don't forget to listen to us anytime you get the opportunity. From the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, posted to our website each and every business day of the year at willag.org, WILLAG.org.